Welcome, all you True Believers out there. It's time for your favorite MCU podcast, True Believers, here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, this is the show where we cover everything that is happening in the MCU. A lot has been happening, but for this particular episode, we got something very special, and it's not just big and green like She-Hulk. Oh, no. It is a very special day here at the Fandom Podcast Network because it is the one and only Kevin Reitzel's birthday. Happy birthday, my brother.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Hold on. I'm on Amazon right now ordering my Avengers t-shirt.
I was going to say, are you properly geared up? I do want to say there is a package coming from Amazon to you with the full Titania She-Hulk beauty kit.
Oh, okay. Is that the men's kind of like compact one there? Yeah.
Yeah. I also got you a double dose of She-Hulk booty booster.
I thought it was booty blaster. Are we sure?
It could be both. She changes it on a daily basis depending on the lawsuit. So
either way, I will probably need a booty booster. So that's good. What's up, man? How you doing? Thank you.
I am doing well. I just came back from my appointment with my fashion guru. He's working on my new superhero suit.
Oh, Kate, you got a guy then. Can you hook me up?
Yeah. I'll see if Alonzo is available for you.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I might need some of that. Just saying. So
yeah, he did hook me up with some sweet Iron Man 4 kicks already though. So I'm
good. Wow, that's before Iron Man 3's just came out. So wow, you really got it in. Well, I might need a suit because I had some questionable snake venom. So just want to let you know.
Yeah, you as long as you applied it in the proper place, Kevin.
That's where I went wrong.
more than likely. Of course, again, we are at the True Believers podcast. We're here to talk about all things She-Hulk. But before we do that, of course, I got to give you this. We are going to be diving into everything episode 5 of She-Hulk, another very fun episode. Mean, green, and straight poured into these jeans. Isn't that your daily motto, Kevin?
As of late, yes. Especially if you've recently gotten some slim or skinny jeans.
This is true. So now you all might be wondering, well, guys, D23 just happened. There's a ton of Marvel news that came out of D23. And you're right, there is. And normally we would share this on True Believers. However, there was so much Marvel news and Star Wars news and just general Disney news in general, we decided to do a special edition of Culture Clash Live, which you can find right now up on the Fandom Podcast Network YouTube channel, where we talk about not only all the Marvel stuff, all the Star Wars stuff, and some very fun Disney stuff. And we even let Kevin have a little Indiana Jones time, which always makes him happy.
Yeah, and shout out to our special guest, David Lozano from Star Wars Stuff and Marvel Stuff. He came on and joined us for that great conversation. And we really went deep into all of the D23 Marvel news there, especially the Avengers Disassembled. So make sure you check it out. Go to Fandom Podcast Network YouTube channel and check it out there.
Absolutely. And just for the record, if you weren't sure before, you can know now, David Lozano does know all his stuff.
Yes. Yeah, it's in his name.
Exactly. Well, Kevin, without further ado, let's get some of that gamma radiation going and kick things off with phase one. The court needs a little proper plot description this week, Kevin. Can you abide?
Sure, of course. Phase one here, we got our plot description and reactions and some cast discussion as well. But this is She-Hulk Attorney at Law, Episode 5, Mean Green and Straight Poured Into Those Jeans, aired September 15th, my birthday, woot woot, 2022. So here we go. Titania has trademarked the name She-Hulk for a new line of beauty products, which angers Walters. Holloway warns Walters that she needs to deal with the sticky situation quickly and assigns Mallory Book as her attorney for the case. Nikki and Pug come up with a plan to acquire a superhero outfit for Walters from Luke Jacobson, a highly exclusive tailor. While Book and Walters decide to countersue Titania, in the hopes of regaining the She-Hulk trademark. Walters is annoyed to discover that Todd, one of her unsuccessful dates, is also a client at her firm. But this helps her to realize that she can use her dating app history to establish a past record of her identifying as She-Hulk. Thanks to her past dates' testimonies, Walters wins a case and she establishes a tentative friendship with Book. She later acquires her new customized outfits from Jacobson, who also revealed to have a golden version of Daredevil's helmet in his shop. Kyle, there was no post-credit scene, but I don't know if we needed one. That kind of was it.
I was going to say, how do you follow that with any post-credit scene? Come on now. and by the way, Kevin, you know, some of those fashion designs you've asked for, just know we don't do that kind of bleep at this podcast. You know, we only do the special stuff.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah. Now, Chris, what I do like to make sure people pay attention to is the main closing credits that are in the animation, like animated still form, because they show some stuff that scenes you didn't actually see in live action, but depicted as, you know, I guess these kind of watercolor pictures that they're showing us, yeah, which is really cool. And a couple of funny things was, first of all, you've been seeing this evidence bag that Jennifer Walters is holding up, and you actually see that it's an Avengers cup. We also get Ched, you know, the other smart one of the family, according to
the smartest one of the family.
Yeah, the smartest one of the family, according to sarcastic Bruce Banner, is selling She-Hulk items from the back of a van. Titania She-Hulk items. There's also a very funny one where Holden Holloway is trying the She-Hulk booty boost, which I thought was pretty funny. And then Pug is showing Nikki his sneaker collection with the Iron Man 3s front and center.
Yes, but what you need to do, Kevin, is pause that picture and take a look at some of the other shoes in the background, because there's several major Marvel characters' shoes in the background, including Deadpool, Captain America, Cyclops from the X-Men. So there's some
what are they doing? Okay, hold on. If this is the case, which apparently it is, Kyle, it's there.
Yeah.
How is that canon right now during She-Hulk?
Who knows?
Okay, hold on. Because it's not in live action form, is it canon?
I think it's called creative license in the case of She-Hulk.
Your first reactions to this episode, Kyle?
This might have been the funniest episode of She-Hulk we've had, and we've had some pretty funny ones, but this one, I mean, when between the poured into the jeans line and what she was looking for with a strong back and a reinforced king size bed, JK. This episode was pure fun. I laughed out loud several times at this episode, and I really think because of also what we get at the end of this episode, I think this is probably our peak of really focusing on the comedy side episodes. I think we're going to start getting into a little bit more superheroing in the next few episodes. Not a lot. There's still going to be courtroom drama, but I think we are going to see a little bit more of She-Hulk doing some superhero things.
Hold on. Clarify something you just said, and I want to make sure, mm-hmm, I didn't take it the wrong way. Are you saying it's going to be less funny?
I'm saying it's going to be less funny, but I don't think it's going to be quite as heavy as on the jokes as like this episode was. I think it's going to, I don't want to say it's going to get a more serious tone, but I think it's going to have a little bit more of the superhero side to it that we haven't seen yet from the show.
I don't want to expect that's going to happen. I don't want to, because I think one of the complaints that people might have is that we're not getting your typical like superhero action, you know, series. And I don't want to believe that's going to happen. If it happens, fine. But I'm happy with this being funny and throwing in some courtroom stuff. I think we could still get, you know, the reveal of other coming characters and stuff like that, or cameos or whatever. But I think this show has found its home, and I'll get into that a little bit more, but I hope they don't take away, you know, the humor too much. You know, I want that needs to stay. That needs to be its thing, because they've they pretty much solidified that's what they're going for here. And I love that.
Yeah. No, I think how I mean, Kevin, is we're really going to have a little bit more of a balance. They're not going to take away from the humor. It's just they're going to add a little bit more superhero element. I think obviously when you're bringing in Daredevil, I think they're going to address whoever the boss was that hired the Wrecking Crew to try to get her blood. So I just think we're going to get into a little bit more deep dive of that. And maybe where at the end of this season, she's a little bit more accepting of her She-Hulk side than what she has been so far. Right. So I think that's when I say that, that's what I mean by that. So
gotcha. Yeah, I hope that I hope it just still stays fun. This character in other visits to what other movies or Marvel shows can get a little bit more serious later on. But I do appreciate in a comedy when they do kind of take a serious turn, you know, like back in the 80s, we always had the serious episode of our favorite comedies, Kyle, the ones that might've had a warning at the beginning or, you know, discuss this in school with your teachers next day, you know?
I seem to remember an episode of Saved by the Bell where I was so excited.
Yeah. Okay. I got it now. Okay.
Yeah.
Jesse Took Too Many Drugs episode. You got to lay that out there, Kyle, because not everyone gets these weird jokes.
That's true.
But there was like a Family Ties one too. But, you know, I don't want to get off the rails here. But when it comes to Marvel getting serious, of course, you know, life and death is a thing, you know. And I think that she can still do her lawyering. Legal stuff, but her She-Hulk side, I think, is what you're trying to say, Kyle, really needs to come forward a little bit more.
Yeah, just a tad. I think it's just finding the balance between Jennifer Walters and She-Hulk. But as long as she doesn't start practicing law from the Book of the Darkhold, we're good.
This is true. Or that Necronomicon thing. That's not good too. So we get a little more Nikki Ramos in this, some funny scenes with Pug, the whole, you know, secret Avengers, off the market, knockoff clothing to getting to the real, you know, secret clothier of the superheroes. We also get Titania. Jamila Jamil gets a little more action in this one. Kyle, your thoughts on the little more scenes with the other people?
I needed to see a scene with Nikki Ramos. I think if they were going to do a cuts and closing scene, it should have been a scene with Nikki and Pug in line for the shoes.
You know what? You're right. Because how many of us have been to those midnight lines for either sneakers, video games, or even like a horror story I had once, the midnight Best Buy on Black Friday morning thing, you know, those are the lines. And I remember doing that for a Call of Duty game as well, Kyle. And that's where you can see like the lower dregs of humanity at time or to get the new iPhone, you know? So that would have been funny. Good call.
But my basic question, I'm going to sidetrack here a little bit because obviously those lines, you wish you had the Infinity Gauntlet with some of those lines.
This is true. Yes. Yes.
But I want to ask a quick side question then, Kevin. What was your worst line or what was the thing you got in line the longest?
Oh, the Best Buy midnight thing was horrible. Okay. Because the stuff that I got in line for, they came out and said that they didn't have enough product for the possible demand for a certain amount of time, or whatever. And they were like giving out these priority tickets for you to be in line. And then people in front of us were like selling their tickets to other people. It was horrible. And I didn't get what I wanted. I ended up settling for something else. And I told myself I will never, ever do a Black Friday, get up early, late night thing. And I've actually sworn that crap off. I stay home for the family and football.
Yep, exactly.
What about you?
Third in line overnight for a PlayStation 2.
Wow. Old school too. That was a good console.
And I remember I got my ticket and I had some guy just walk up out of the parking lot and offer me $500 for my ticket. And at that point I was like, no, I stayed here all night. And he just continued to go down the line until he had somebody who would sell him the ticket.
I hate those people.
Yeah. I'm like, I put in the effort. I'm getting my system.
Okay. So John Bass, the guy that is obviously has a thing for She-Hulk, the kind of nerdy, you know, preppy looking guy. I love this character. I was so glad that he was back and he's got this kind of like, you know, fanboy thing for her. I don't know if you remember him or not, Kyle. I am an apology. I apologize, but I love the Baywatch movie with The Rock. Mm-hmm. And he was in that movie. Did you see Baywatch?
It's been a while since I've watched it, but I have.
He was the kind of chunky kid that kept trying out for the Baywatch thing. And he eventually got onto the Baywatch crew because he kept trying every summer. And they liked that tenacity in him. And he had some very funny moments, especially when he got parts stuck in a beach chair. Very funny. I got to say, the scenes with him, he actually kind of stole the film, but I was glad to see him in this. Any more cast comments, Kyle?
I like that they brought back all of her boyfriends, and I loved it at the end of the court scene when David Otunga, who played Derek, is hitting on Titania as she's walking out the door, and she's like, just come on.
Yes. That was very, very funny, yes. All right. All right, Kyle, guess what?
What?
We got a Den of Geek article.
I have something I want to ask you about this, Kevin.
Yes.
I know this is not written. Kristen Howard has still not come back to write on She-Hulk. It's this particular article was written by Lacey Bauer. You think Kristen just kind of has bailed out on She-Hulk, or is she just...
You know what? I'm just speculation here. I'm going to say yes. I think that maybe she's writing something else, you know.
Yeah.
So, but we know Lacey Bauer. She's done some great stuff. We've obviously had her stuff from Union Fed and also, you know, talking about Star Trek and Orville. So she has released an article on, of course, Den of Geek. And here it is. And here's some points I want to discuss too. So, like she goes on, she says, like many most other half-hour comedies, She-Hulk Attorney at Law has taken a few episodes to settle into its groove. Between the series' controversial fourth wall-breaking narration and its embrace of purposely broad brand of humor that ranges from self-deprecating to downright uncomfortable, the show has definitely established itself as something very different from everything in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that's come before it. But with the arrival of its fifth episode, She-Hulk finally seems confident in what kind of show it wants to be. Kyle, I want to pause there because would you call this controversial fourth wall breaking as she calls it? Or is this the people that weren't expecting this and maybe turned off by it?
From what I've seen on the internet and from what I've seen, I don't think it's controversial. I love it. I think what you're getting is you get a lot of people who are Deadpool fans and feel like Deadpool's the only character who should be allowed to break the fourth wall. And I think people are also finding like it's kind of off-putting to them in the MCU. And I'm like, I go back to it, Kevin. This character has always done this in her own comic. It's not a big deal. This isn't something, oh, you didn't read the comic, you should know.
Yeah, exactly. I want to make sure that, you know, I don't want to alienate the people that haven't read the comic, but I can see people just MCU in it, not comic book in it, going, what's going on? And, you know, so, but I would think that maybe for those that have stuck through the show and stuck with it, if those have that turn off, maybe they've slowly kind of accepting it. So,
Kevin, quick, I just want to add into this too. I think this is something that I think MCU fans need to get adjusted to, because I really do think they are broadening their perspective and trying new things. And there's nothing wrong with this. I think it, for what this show is, it fits perfectly. I couldn't see this happening in Moon Knight, but I could definitely see it happening in this show. And this way the show is written, it fits it.
Agreed. Okay, so the other thing from that paragraph I want to ask you about is the purposely broad brand of humor that ranges from self-deprecating, which we get this in here, especially when she's having to parade her exes, you know, for embarrassing ways, but downright uncomfortable. Is there anything that's been uncomfortable to you regarding the humor?
I could see where like what she's doing to embarrass, how she's going through the embarrassment of like these exes and things like that.
Other than that, anything in past episodes that's been uncomfortable when it came to the humor?
Not across to me personally. I thought about this when I read the notes and read this part of the article, and I tried to think back. I can think of maybe a couple of times here or there where there was some jokes about that they tried to play up about certain things with women and stuff like that. Some people might have found uncomfortable, but I don't think there's anything that's blaring. I give the show a lot of credit because I really think they've handled a lot of things in a very well done way.
Agreed. Well said. With you there. Yeah. All right, Lacey goes on to say, though the reveal of Daredevil's new helmet will likely dominate much of the post-episode discussion around this installment. And look, I get it. I'm ready for the return of Matt Murdock, particularly since the episode definitely hints that the Netflix version of the character is more than likely still canon, quote, mean, green, and straightforward in these jeans is the series' most cohesive installment yet. One that actually gets its broader plot to say something significant about Jen Walters' journey as a superhero. Now, we'll talk about the helmet and Murdock a little bit later. I do want to mention that, though. She goes on to say, I doubt any of us expected that trademark law would necessarily make for a compelling or even remotely funny story, but Tatiana's decision to copyright the name She-Hulk, of course she means Jen Walters, in order to slap it on her range of goop-esque scam. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Titania's decision, not Tatiana Maslany, decision to copyright the name She-Hulk in order to slap it on her range of goop-esque scam beauty product forces Jen to not only defend her brand in court, but confront the fact that She-Hulk has become an intrinsic part of who she is. And maybe she never wanted to be a superhero, but it's apparently that's now how the world sees her. And more importantly, how she's starting to see herself. Kyle.
Yes, sir.
So this show was probably the funniest show. But what I found cool about it was that we didn't have any of the cameo of the week of other Avengers or other cast members. I think this episode really kind of lets you know that we can do this without having other people to come in to kind of like get things exciting, so to speak. And they actually had a full on courtroom thing going on. And I like that. I thought this episode stood by itself in that way, I think. What do you think?
I think very much so. I'm glad they spent a good portion of this in the courtroom like they did last week as well, because I really like watching the courtroom. But what I like even more is the fact that Jen wasn't being the attorney in this case, and she was being the client.
Yes.
And I think it really added an interesting dynamic. And you see how Jen kind of has a little bit of a almost kind of hero worship of this other attorney because of how she conducts herself and how she carries herself.
Yeah, her and Nikki both like how she's dressed and,
Yeah. There's like, yeah, she's just a level above us. I even like when they're having the drink and she's talking about, I'm getting the very mediocre pay for leading the superhuman division of this firm instead of trying to like talk. She's still deprecating herself.
Right.
And I think it's interesting because I think you are starting to see a little bit more of the difference between Jen and She-Hulk with the confidence, where she's a lot more confident as She-Hulk while she's still very self-deprecating as Jen.
Excellent point. Agree with you there. Yeah. Okay. So this is a fun question I just got to throw out there, Kyle. Mm-hmm. So what I love about this plot point is the name She-Hulk is being contested, and that Titania, who is very smart in certain ways here, to see an opportunity to take advantage of, like, oh, I bet she hasn't trademarked her name. I'm going to do it and throw it on some beauty products. And I think it's just fantastic. So Kyle, what other superheroes better watch out and trademark their names? Because when she throws out Thor and Doctor Strange, her attorney says, well, they can't do that because that's their real names. So I was thinking, like, what other superheroes better watch out and maybe trademark their names? But then I was thinking, do you think anyone's going to try to trademark Punisher and call him out on it?
I think Punisher's probably safe. If I'm Spider-Man, I might be a little concerned. I don't really think anybody's going to mess with anybody who's a well-known Avenger. And Tony Stark probably trademarked all those names already anyway. Yeah. But, your little independent heroes that, they might need to have a little concern. Maybe the Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know if Star-Lord's exactly been trademarked on planet Earth.
Yeah. So I just thought that was a fun question to kind of throw out there, like, you know, because that's what I like about this show. It touches on those what ifs that we would think as normal people hanging out in a superhero world now. What can we do to take advantage of superheroes if you want to be mean about it? You know, yeah. I mean, we're thinking about it.
Now that I'm thinking about it, Gamora by Titania. It just has a nice ring to it.
Oh, man. But yeah. Okay. Okay. So we've touched on a couple of things here in the article, but I want to round out going, yes, the introduction of the underground designer Luke is essentially a little more than a vehicle to bring Daredevil into the show. But Griffin Matthews' disdainful demeanor is spot on, and Jen's utter lack of interest in traditional hero threads is completely on brand. And let's face it, it will be so nice, hopefully, see She-Hulk in a suit that doesn't look like it came out of a dumpster at Men's Warehouse next week. Or what did they say, that she was showing up as a DUI, like a DUI?
DUI. Yeah.
DUI case.
Overnight in jail kind of.
Yeah. Plus, I can't be the only person who would probably watch an entire episode of Nikki and Pug exploring the underground world of bootleg superhero merch. The Avengers. I have many questions. Is there a version of Canal Street in this New York that sells ripoff Black Widow vest or Stephen Strange capes? I must know. So yes, Kyle, it was nice to see Nikki and Pug get a little more screen time. And I love just the how she says, yes, I'll do that as your favor, but interest. And then like when she realizes that he needs his help now, she's like going to get rid of the interest. But I want to kind of see that going back and forth. That was a lot of fun. And the whole thing with bootleg Avenger stuff, I found hilarious. And there's a little trivia thing I do want to mention in trivia later about, you know, the color of Hulk. But what did you think of the Avengers kind of bootleg merch thing here?
Come on, it's New York. You know we were going to have it somewhere. And I love the fact it's actually used as a front to hide this superhero costume designer. I think that's a fun little twist. But it's New York. You're going to have that stuff. I mean, you and I got to plan our trip so we can go get some proper Avengers gear.
You haven't done New York correctly if you haven't gone down to the Garment District or down to Chinatown and you're looking at some stuff and you have someone come up to you and going, hey, got some more stuff you might be interested in the back.
I will say this, Kevin. I am not buying any second-rate web shooters because that just screams failure in the middle of a skyscraper swing, and that's just not going to be pleasant.
Understood. But I would buy the hell out of an Avenger shirt, Kyle, right now. I'm just saying. Hold on. I'm going to call it Avengers Cast Cosplay Group at Dragon Con 2023. I see it right now.
Oh, come on. You know the merchandise is going up for sale on some Marvel website soon.
I'm sure it's already trademarked right now by Disney and stuff. I'm sure it is.
I saw you eyeballing those boxer shorts.
Hell yeah, bro. All right. Hey, Kyle, guess what?
Next time, warn me before you release that gamma radiation. You know, it doesn't take much to cause changes.
Not as fun if I do. Got some trivia. Phase two, baby. Phase two. So in the Avengers and Avengers t-shirts, the character of Hulk is represented in purple color instead of his characteristic green. In color theory, purple is the opposite to green. This could also be a nod to the character of Krunk from the Justice Friend cartoon from Cartoon Network's Dexter's Laboratory. What do you think?
I think it's more of a nod to the fact that for a very long time in the comics, the Hulk's pants or shorts were always purple.
Yeah, there you go. I need to take a lot closer picture to that Avengers shirt, but I definitely need that. So, okay. Lampshaded on She-Hulk's dating profile, which says she's looking for a man with a stiff spine and reinforced bed. Would you answer that, Kyle?
Okay, so This comes up to the great debate of dating somebody with superpowers and the risks. we used to have this debate in the comic shop I worked in Alaska many a time. I don't think a superhero could date a normal human. We're both fans of the Orville. We saw what happened to Lamar.
It's true. It's true. I love the fact, though, that mean green and straight port in the jeans is part of She-Hulk's dating profile. Did you notice that Titania calls Jennifer Shrek when she first enters the courtroom?
Yeah, I got that. That was rather funny. Kevin, I will say this. So I'd probably at least try on the dating profile because, hey, it's She-Hulk. It's got to be a fun hang.
I would guess, too. Anyway, that's all I've got for trivia or tropes, unless you got something else.
No. I think you used up all the evidence in the Avengers bag.
I'm not saying it all made it.
I think there might be a few things missing out of there.
Term slap a logo on anything does apply here.
Exactly. Oh, while Kevin slaps some more logos, I'm going to let you find out what else is happening on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom. Okay, yes, sir. Kyle, I got it frozen here on the scene where Pug is showing his Iron Man 3s, like you said. Mm-hmm. I think I see Thing shoes, Thing sneakers.
Yeah.
There's one that looks kind of snakes. Oh, wait a minute. That one looks like it could be the villain from Spider-Man.
The Lizard.
No. It's got like snaky. It's blue and green.
Electro?
No.
Green Goblin?
Yes, Green Goblin. I thought maybe it might be Green Goblin. But yeah, I'm seeing that they're having some fun with the shoes here. I see one with wings, it looks like.
Maybe Angel?
Yeah.
The X-Men?
I don't know, but they are definitely having fun with a superhero-looking shoes up here. And I tell you right now, dude, I need Iron Man 3 shoes for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Iron Man 3 is my favorite Iron Man movie. So yeah.
You know, Harley probably has about 5 pairs in his closet.
God, I know. Right. Anyway, good call on the sneakers, by the way. I missed the ones in the background. So well done.
So let's talk a little plot description here, Kevin, and a few things in the plot that might've piqued your interest in this week's episode.
Yeah. Okay. So basically we're getting the She-Hulk name in challenge here. And I love that is the main plot thing here. But I also thought it was clever to do this, to have, what's her name? Is it Book? What's the female attorney's name? I'm forgetting.
Book was her last name. Mallory Book.
Mallory. Okay. So But what this show really, this episode really is getting her coworkers involved in getting an idea of who they're like and with a little character development. And Mallory's obviously in no nonsense, very serious, probably one of the more high powered attorneys there. She kills it with her style and the way she looks, you know, a little on the stern side, you know, but I like the fact that they loosen up afterwards and she treats her to drinks and stuff like that. And then of course, seeing the other two with on the sneaker hunt, as well as on the superhero clothes line thing. And I love the fact that this all kind of ties together without having to bring in any other superheroes to carry the episode. And I think it was smart to see the other characters in this law firm get highlighted.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, I hope it's something that, like I said, I need a Marvel short of Pug and Nikki doing something, you know, whether it's on another sneaker hunt or something like that. I mean, I could easily have one of those as a little 5-minute Marvel short or something like that, you know, yeah. Back in the day, like the ones they did with Coulson.
Yeah. Okay. But here's the thing though, what I really need to see in live action form, because we were teased in the Waller, I'm just going to call it watercolor end credit, you know, painting scenes, is that Holden Holloway, the boss, is trying this the booty blast thing or whatever, and the then booty someone's kind of booty booster. Someone's kind of walking by the office, going, "What's going on?"
I think that was Pug.
Pug?
Yeah, you know, our sneaker guy.
Okay, so I don't know. I couldn't tell, but I need to see in live action of something else that shows that he's not like. He's not always the stern boss. I need to see him loosen up a little bit. That'd be kind of fun.
I think it was interesting how they talked about him, how he would never go through something humiliating like what Jennifer did in court and things like that. And just talked about, I don't know if he comes across to me. I don't want to say he doesn't feel like the stern boss. He just feels like more of that. I am a high level corporate attorney. I'm going to eat your lunch and it's going to be my way or the highway. Well, and that's kind of a similar thing I have with Book in the aspect of she feels like that. She's like that. I'm at that high level attorney, corporate raider attorney type level where it's just like, yeah, you don't want to mess with me. And that's where Jen kind of wants to be, but she can't. I don't think her personality will ever let her get there.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Okay. Do we have any questions about the timeline here?
No, I don't think so. I think the timeline is fitting for right now. I think this is definitely taking place around the same time, I would say, as Shang-Chi.
Okay. We saw that the Hulk was taken off, obviously, mm-hmm. to go off planet. Do you think we see Bruce Banner / Hulk in the rest of this season?
No. I mean, yeah. I don't think so. I think the rest of the season is dedicated to Jennifer Walters, and other than maybe just maybe a quick call from Planet Scar to tease something, if that's where he went. But otherwise, I think the next time we see Hulk, I think, honestly, after the revelations of D23, there could be some, they could be planning something really big with Hulk here down the road.
Great. Yeah. Okay. So topic two is where this episode ties to the MCU and comics. I want to hit the MCU first. Obviously, Kyle, we got the tease of Daredevil, but I want to talk about that next topic. What else in this to you is teasing to the MCU or ties?
Ties to the MCU? I think this episode really kind of does stand on its own, but I think it's opening. It's what the show is to me is doing, which is so brilliant, is the fact that it's showing more of the day-to-day effect the MCU is having. With these heroes and the villains and everything that's kind of happened, you're starting to see how people handle this on a day-to-day and how much people with superpowers have infiltrated the universe. And it's not just, oh, we're only showing up for big events or doing these bad supervillain things. Here you have Titania, which we don't quite know the full story with, but she's playing up. She's a villain, but she's not doing necessarily like hardcore villain things, causing fights, bringing the breakdown. She's more worried about her rep and things like that.
You know what, Kyle? You just hit on something kind of big. Hearing what you just said, I was just realizing, going, this show is really laying down a point that there's more superheroes or superpowered humans now more than ever, which require its own law firm. So where are they coming from and how are they getting their powers? Are we going to find out that the snap did something to some people? Because they have to, you know, really kind of explain the mutant side of things, since that got teased in Ms. Marvel. But you kind of hit on something big there, Kyle. They have to address this, and it seems like that She-Hulk is starting to do that.
A little bit, but I don't, Kevin, I think one of the things that's been decided within the MCU, and I give them a lot of credit for it, is not everybody needs an origin story. You know, they didn't do Spider-Man's origin. People know that. They didn't do that.
No.
The rumor is that with this Fantastic Four movie that's coming up, the Fantastic Four is probably already going to be established somehow. And we're not going to go through the origin of them getting their powers and everything like that. It's more of, I think we're to the point with the MCU where we don't need those origin stories. We just accept that these characters are part of the universe. And it's just like, oh, hey, we wake up your neighbor. Oh, you got a superpower neighbor. No, another day in the MCU. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
No, you're right. And now, you know, now that we know we're getting Fantastic Four and, you know, we got an off the cuff type of mention of four astronauts in WandaVision that had an issue, which, you know, at the time we were wondering, like, are they really going to do something with that? And now we know. So, yeah, that's interesting. And, you know, now they're teasing Thing shoes, you know, during the credit scene here. out of curiosity, Kyle, if they had released shoes for every single Fantastic Four character, which one would you buy first?
Well, it depends. Are we going to get features with him? I mean, if we get invisibility, and the Invisible Woman might not be.
No, you probably wouldn't, but it would be interesting to see, like, no, these shoes are clear, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I might get Thing shoes first. I mean, they probably.
I'm kind of digging those, but man, I'll tell you, those Iron Man 3s look sharp. But let me just mention something real quick. Us that are nerdy and collect things, Kyle, I love the fact that Pug was not ashamed to say in front of a woman or a professional woman and a colleague, and she's like, so wait a minute, you're going to get one to wear and just one to show? He's like, yeah.
But that's the thing. That's the thing about that sneaker culture, that the way sneaker culture is right now.
It's dude, like, it's not just sneaker culture. It's nerd collection culture. You know, we buy one to open, one to put in the case and to watch. You know, that's what we do, right? Or the one, like, you know, if it gets damaged, we still got one that's pristine that you don't touch.
Or in Kevin's case, he has the VHS, the Laserdisc, the DVD, the mini vid, the digital version, and
the anniversary edition.
Yeah. The Walmart 5 movie set version, you know.
Yeah, I can't argue that. That's so true. Kyle, comics, ties to the comics.
Not really much in the ties of the comics in this episode. And again, Kevin, this is actually something that's just morphing for us as a podcast and for the MCU is, again, we're getting farther and farther away from massive ties to the comics. The comics are becoming a baseline, but they're, Kevin, like Kevin Feige reiterated at D23, they are building their own universe now.
Yeah.
Yes, we've got storylines as templates, but we're going to make those storylines work with what we have established in the MCU now. So, It's so fun to watch the MCU evolve like this. And I think it's great.
I know people, there's still people out there that are hardcore comics fans that are disappointed that they're taking their own direction. And I think you need to be at peace with that. So, yeah.
I think if I'm going to be honest with you, my feeling of this is I'm a little bit of both ways. I think there are certain storylines you better follow the comic for, because they were just such outstanding storylines. And I think if you were to,
they've been pretty good about that though, right, Kyle?
Yeah. Haven't you? For the most part, even when they have a deviation, it seems to fit more in the universe, but there are certain storylines they need to stay closer to than others.
Yeah. Like Taskmaster, was one big fail. In my opinion, I'm not even a comic book guy, but from what I learned from my good friend Kat, they could have handled that better, but there's a few other things too. I know that people are thinking about right now that I can't think of, but overall, I think they're doing a pretty good job. So,
yeah. Well, speaking of changes, ties to the comics, but with some changes, can we talk about the horns in the room?
the horns in the room. Explain yourself.
Well, we saw a certain horned helmet at the end of this episode, but it wasn't.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to topic three now. Daredevil's
helmet. Oh, yeah. 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 Because I loved how in the article they talked about the new yellow helmet.
Yeah. What's up with that, Kyle?
Okay. So.
And he's red. He's got a red outfit.
Let's hit the rewind button here. Obviously, this article might not have been written before D23, or somebody didn't pay attention to Charlie Cox's comments at D23, where he's like, no, this is something new. Daredevil Born in the MCU is something new. It's not necessarily everything that is the Netflix character. So when Daredevil first debuted, he had a red and yellow suit.
Debuted in the comics?
In the comics, yes. Okay. So the suit that we've seen in the ads and what we've got seen there is the original classic Daredevil suit. He then later on went to the solid red suit, more to reflect the devil aspect of the character and things like that. But you see that classic yellow suit? That's going to be very cool. A lot of people really love that design. I'm looking forward to seeing how they play that up and how long they're going to have him in it. My guess is going to be he will probably be in it through She-Hulk. Maybe his appearance is an Echo. And then when Daredevil Born Again comes out, which we now know is coming and is going to be 18 episodes on Disney Plus, we might see the transition to the red suit in Daredevil Born Again.
You brought up something that it was mentioned at D23 that, for those of us that are wishing that the Netflix series would become official canon, or at least left in the vague ether that it could have happened within the Marvel MCU, that looks like that's not the case. It looks like that they're going to pretty much do a full, not a full reboot of the character, but just like, you know what, we need to make sure that we introduce Daredevil into the MCU our way. So if we need to make any changes to backstory, that it's kind of like Star Wars calling the old novels legend. They're basically, you know, they didn't really happen in our new timeline, but it's nice that they're there. So don't expect anything that happened in the Netflix series to jump and carry over, because they may need to go back and retell something that might contradict what happened in Netflix. Is that what you're thinking, Kyle?
Let me put it this way. This is my feeling on it. Marvel's MCU and Kevin Feige are going to take those Netflix series and they're going to Dave Filoni the hell out of it, which means Dave's going to, like Dave did with Star Wars and the Legends and the Extended Universe, he picked parts that he wanted to make sure got involved, and he got
cherry picked. Cherry picked the good stuff. Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's what Marvel's going to do here. They're cherry picking Daredevil, they're cherry picking Kingpin. A lot of rumors that you're going to actually see some other Daredevil actors back in their roles, as well as maybe
even that's the thing there, Kyle, that go ahead and contradict any storylines, but man, give me some freaking Luke Cage. You know, get me some Jessica Jones. Get me some Iron Fist. Give me the actors that played those. I'm fine with all of the actors that were chosen for that. You know, Elektra, whatever. Get me those characters back. That would be great, man. I really loved Luke Cage. I think was probably my favorite. If I go back, yeah.
As far as the actors,
Punisher too. I'm sorry, John Bernthal.
Well, okay. So let's talk about that real quick. As far as those actors go, because one, I know Kevin Feige absolutely loves John Bernthal, and he wants him back as a Punisher. He's made no secret about that. I think that will eventually happen. I think Mike Coulter coming back as Luke Cage is a definite possibility, because I think the show he does, Evil, is probably getting close to wrapping up. Jessica Jones is about, a 50-50 proposition right now, but only because Krista Ritter is committed to the new Orphan Black series. And it just depends on how much they'd want to incorporate Jessica Jones. And I'm going to be honest with you, I could see Iron Fist being completely recasted at this point for several reasons, and maybe tell us to match a little bit of stuff that's been happening in the current comics. But I do think eventually we see at least most of those characters come in. But I know Deborah Ann Wall is rumored to return, as well as the actor who played Foggy Nelson. I was thinking as the kid from the Mighty Ducks. I've heard both of them are rumored to return for Born Again. Good. Yeah, I think they were very good. And there's a lot of Rosario Dawson's already said, Bring me back. I'm ready.
Yeah, she needs to be the what do you call it? The
night nurse.
The night nurse. Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. Well, anyway. So yeah, Daredevil.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, Kevin, I'm a huge Charlie Cox fan, not only because I thought his portrayal of Daredevil on the Netflix show was absolutely amazing, but after getting to meet him at Dragon Con a few years back, this is one of the nicest guys in Hollywood.
He's so good to his fans. He's fantastic. Yeah,
he's amazing. And he actually literally stopped taking, he turned down jobs because Kevin Feige just told him to hold on and wait. And he did, and it's going to pay off for him big time, because he's saying there was in a recent interview over at D23 where he was talking about the aspect of more, he's getting more recognition as Daredevil from his appearance in Spider-Man No Way Home than he ever did from the Netflix series.
That's funny. Yeah.
So I find that interesting. I'm excited. I think Charlie Cox is a great addition to the MCU. And I really think get ready for a lot of Daredevil between this, his appearance in Echo, Born Again, and I think they'll have other plans for him before it's all said and done too. I'm really excited. I'm excited to have Vincent D'Onofrio back as Kingpin. Like, we're going to get a lot of Daredevil, at least on the Disney Plus side of things in the MCU over the next few years.
Kyle, we got one last phase left. Do it.
We got one last phase left? Okay. Kevin, can I just make an observation here?
Please.
I know it's your birthday. You might want to start investing in a little spandex. You're looking a little green from all this gamma radiation that you've been exposed to during these podcasts. I'm just expressing some concern. You're a little older. The immune system might not work as proper. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, there's a lot more, you know, stretchy material nowadays in clothes, so that helps.
Yeah. So, okay, Kevin, I got to ask you in topic four as well, some final thoughts and predictions. You have any predictions? Usually you hit me up first. I'm hitting you up first. It's your birthday. I want to hear what some predictions you might have as we are getting into the last half of episodes of She-Hulk. We're halfway through, man. I'm feeling I don't want it to end.
Well, I'm predicting in the next episode that Jennifer / She-Hulk is going to be more comfortable in the She-Hulk persona, I guess, so to speak, her She-Hulk side, because these new clothes, she's got to show them off. And we've seen teases of that already in trailers. And I think the next episode, we're going to really see her become comfortable with that side. And we love the self-deprecating humor, but I would like to see her grow with a little more confidence. And I'm hoping that happens in the next episode, maybe two.
I think that's a very good thing. I think what you're also going to see is going to be involving Daredevil and Matt Murdock. I think she's obviously probably going to encounter Matt Murdock in court, which is going to lead to them having...
You don't think they're going to save that for maybe the last couple episodes, not episode six?
Well, I'm not saying an episode that I think you don't hint Daredevil's helmet and then not maybe have her maybe I don't, you may not see Daredevil in episode six, but I think you see Matt Murdock. Maybe they cross in a court case.
That's what I meant. Yeah. No, you're saying we'll see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It'd be nice to, I'm sorry, I'm making this go in my head here thinking that, yeah, seeing Matt Murdock first would be really cool.
Yeah. I think you might see Matt Murdock first in an episode. In episode six and in episode seven, we see him as Daredevil again, and they kind of cross paths, and then we see that him as Daredevil, things like that. Or they're going to continue the tease out for a couple more episodes. I do think we're going to see Jennifer Walters in the next episode really start to accept more of She-Hulk, too. I agree with you very much on that. So this begs
the question, Kyle. He's a lawyer. She's a lawyer. His identity's secret. Hers is not.
Yeah.
Do you think they have the conversation going, dude, come out. Just come out.
I'm going to guess probably not, because if you go by a comic history, and I know you're not familiar with it, but the public finding out Matt Murdock's identity, he has usually not gone that well for him.
Okay, so that's happened in the comics. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been outed more than once as Daredevil and had to come up with some unique ways to convince people he wasn't.
All right. Anyway, I'm really looking forward. I find myself really looking forward to Thursdays. So I've got a routine. I get up an extra half hour early and watch the episode because I love the fact that you can rely on these being 30 minutes and you know they're sticking to that strictly. And I like that because that works with my schedule. And every Thursday, I look forward to these episodes. I'm having a lot of fun with it.
So quick question. What are you going to do starting next week when you have to get up extra early on Wednesdays too?
Yeah, I'll work it out.
Thank you, Disney Plus.
Yeah, well, that one, if you're speaking, you're teasing, obviously, Andor. That one, I'm not going to watch all of it before work. I'm just going to tease something and then maybe a little bit during lunch and then watch the rest at home and then watch it all again.
Yeah, there we go. Kevin, I got to ask you, because I've been tempted. Have you called the 81877 She-Hulk number yet?
I have not.
Well, we'll have to do that before next episode.
Hold on.
You might be doing it now.
Let's do this. Okay, so yeah, there is an actual number here. So let's see, and I'll put it on speaker here. So 1-877 She-Hulk. Okay, I had to spell that out because it doesn't tell you the numbers. So let's see what happens. Hold on.
Superhuman Law Division at GLKNH.
Okay, this time recorded as She-Hulk.
What?
Yep. Wait, yep.
You know they can't see me, right?
Okay, whatever.
Yes.
Your call is very important to us. Our associates are unavailable to take your call at this time, but please stay on the line to hear about our services here at GLKNH. Have you been fined for thousands of dollars worth of damage to the city you were trying to protect? Did you accidentally create a sentient robot who got the feels and tried to destroy the world? Maybe you're an Asgardian god who leaves a giant burning imprint on private property every time you arrive on Earth.
I know who she's talking about.
We've got your back. Our associates at the Superhuman Law Division of GLKNH will fight for your rights to fight for everyone else's rights, because that's what superheroing is all about.
Wait, what?
But don't take my word for it. Here's some testimonials from our satisfied clients. And then this is where we'd include the client.
Yeah, like with their photo next to
it. Once again, phone line. They can't see us.
So it looks like it repeats, Kyle. That was a good call to make that call.
I just want to say, this podcast has no official at connection to GLKNH. We are not sponsored by them. Just covering our legal basis, Kevin.
And also, that was unscripted what we just did. Our notes have this picture of her ad and it says call 877 She-Hulk. And now we know what that number does. Well played.
Well, thank you, sir. Okay, happy birthday. It was your birthday present to call GLKNH.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to let out one more round of gamma radiation, though. Just a thought, Kevin. If we exposed all this gamma radiation to a Twinkie, would we have the big Twinkie like they talked about in Ghostbusters? It would just be green?
I don't want to know.
Probably the safest call. Of course, we are True Believers on the Fandom Podcast Network. You can find us on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com, or you can also watch these wonderful shows on our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search for the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, to visit the True Believers Facebook fan page, where we keep you updated on all the news that's happening at Marvel, including all the stuff at D23. I do think I sprained my thumb sending it all to Kevin over the weekend. I might have blown up your phone.
Yeah, you did blow up my phone with all the D23 news. That was a lot, though.
Yeah. Massive data overload, but we'll all be good. Kevin's going on vacation.
Make sure you check out that Culture Clash live special. We went over all of it, so make sure you check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. That's up on our YouTube channel currently. We will have a podcast version of that out later on our master feed. Of course, too, you can find the Phantom Podcast Network on all your major podcast catchers, including the Podbean app and iTunes. If you want to contact us, look for us on our Facebook Phantom Podcast Network Facebook page, where we keep you updated on everything that's happening in fandom. You can follow us on Instagram at Phantom Podcast Network or on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can follow me, Kyle, on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram, Jen, call me, at AKyleFandom. Tatiana, I've been getting better. This is my first time this episode. Kevin, where can people find you now that you're on the AARP web social medias?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. And of course, in the True Believers Facebook group.
So with that, everybody, we want to thank you for listening. It's always a blast to talk She-Hulk. Again, happy birthday, my brother. I love you, man.
Much appreciated.
I know you got a fun trip planned this weekend. Have safe travels. Have a great time. He'll be getting his Raider nerd on. I know he's very excited.
Vegas, baby. Vegas.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Just remember. Don't bring any home. No superhuman encounters, Kevin. That's all I'm telling you. I can't afford GLK and H's rates. As always, thank you to all of our wonderful listeners out there and for being such true believers. And as we like to say around here, to all of you, excelsior, and until next time, make ours Marvel.